Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stewart's Podcast. This is episode number 262, dedicated to a woman who on October 26th, 2014, beat Simona Halep of Romania to defend her WTA Finals title, Miss Serena Williams. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we welcome back to the podcast Mr. Stuart Brooking. Stuart, or I call him Stu. He is the host of the Morning Brew with Stu. And when the Indianapolis Colts benched Matt Ryan and named Sam Ehlinger QB1, there's only one person that I wanted to talk about this decision with, and that was Stuart Brooking of the Morning Brew with Stu. But before we get to my conversation with Stuart Brooking, there was some major news that came out recently that we must talk about before we get to the Indianapolis Colts issues at quarterback. Jim Nance, the longtime voice of the Final Four on the men's side of things, will be calling his final Four in the spring. That's correct. Jim Nance has decided, he's not being forced out, but Jim Nance has decided that the time is now for him to step away from calling the Final Four to spend more time with his family. Jim Nance has called the Final Four for, I think, close to or almost three decades, for a very long time. For my lifetime, when I started watching the Final Four, it was Jim Nance, Billy Packer, and then it started changing. Billy Packer retired, stopped calling the basketball games. Jim Nance stayed there. He called some games with Steve Kerr, Final Four games. He calls them now with Grant Hill and Bill Raftery. Jim Nance has been a fixture. He has been the voice of the Final Four for numerous people. And for him to step away right now, that does not mean he's going to step away from his duties as the lead play-by-play voice for the NFL, for CBS. He's still going to call more Super Bowls. He's still going to be the voice of the Masters, and he's still going to do more golf stuff for the CBS. But the time with him being the voice of the Final Four, that's over. He's had a great run. He's done a lot of great things. He is someone that is the ultimate professional. He knows his job. He knows his craft. He knows how to do his job and how to assist the analysts and those that are there, the sideline reporters, to allow them to do their jobs as well. The guy, one of the gentlemen, one of the voices, I turn on the NFL, the top game on CBS, I expect Jim Nance to be there. I turn on the Final Four, I expect Jim Nance to be there. The person that will be taking his place is a friend of this podcast, Mr. Ryan Eagle. Had him on the podcast twice. Look to have him on again in the summer once again. We'll discuss this very topic and him being the future voice of the Final Four next year when he's back on the podcast in the summer. Try to get him on in the summer during his downtime. And I look forward to having Ian Eagle back on. But you can't get a much better replacement or successor, might be the better word, to Jim Nance than Ian Eagle. I have said, maybe on this podcast, I know I've said it to a few of my buddies and friends, Ian Eagle is, to me, if there is a list of the elite play-by-play broadcasters out there, Ian Eagle's in that list, Kevin Harlan's in that list, and you're going to have a hard time finding a third person to fit that elite category of a play-by-play broadcaster other than Ian Eagle. Ian Eagle has been doing the college basketball on the CBS, I believe, since the late 90s. And he talked about that during his first time on the podcast during 2020. And I can't wait to hear more about, hey, who do you know who your analyst is going to be? Do you know who you'll be working with? Will it be your normal crew of you and Jim Spanarkle and Jamie Erdahl, or will it be other people? Who will it be? I don't know if Jamie Erdahl is going to be able to do that with her being the host of Good Morning Football. I am happy for Ian Eagle. I believe this is something, not saying he's earned it. I won't say deserve, because deserve might be a different word. I believe he has earned this position to be the voice of the Final Four. I would also love for him to be the voice of the NFL for the CBS, but that's not a decision that I can make. Whenever Jim Nance does step away, I would not be shocked if CBS promotes Ian Eagle to be the lead play-by-play voice for the NFL on CBS. Would love for him to stay partnered with Charles Davis if that is the move that is made once Jim Nance steps away from calling the football in the National Football League. Jim Nance, long career, Great guy. I have not met him, but I have not heard anybody say anything bad about him. Phenomenal behind the mic. I knew his time was coming up soon to step away. Did not know why he would decide to step away, but had a feeling it would come soon. I'm happy for him, making a wise decision for him and his family. I'm also happy for Iron Eagle to get this major opportunity to be the voice of the Final Four. For Eagle, it starts in 2024. Let's go ahead and take a trip to the state of Indiana to enjoy my fun conversation with Mr. Stuart Brooking, who is the host of The Morning Brew with Stu. The last time I had this guest on the show, a listener of the podcast told me that it seemed a little therapeutic for us as we were talking about the Colts, Matt Ryan, Frank Reich, and the debacle that is the Indianapolis Colts. That was at the beginning of the season. We have seen the Colts play quite a few football games, and the debacle is a disaster. There's mayhem going on in Central Indiana, and my guy Stuart Brooking, the host of the Morning Brew with Stu, is back. More of an emergency pod set because Matt Ryan got benched. Sam Ehlinger is now QB1 in Indianapolis, and I'm glad Stuart Brooking is back to discuss what's going on with the Indianapolis Colts. Stu, this might be therapeutic, but we both need this episode today.
Yeah, we do, man. There's a lot that I got to say because I think there's a lot of misconceptions and narratives, I think, that kind of need to be talked about. But yeah, man, I'm excited to talk about this. I guess I'm excited, but I mean, this is kind of not where I thought we'd be. You know, sitting at 3-3, I've never felt so hopeless sitting at 500.
Yeah, hopeless is a good word. You heard me say it a little bit ago, but I'll reiterate it again. Matt Ryan has been benched as QB1 with the Indianapolis Colts. There was reports that it was due to an injury, and that's why he got benched. But then it came out, no, Frank Reich said this was not about the injury that Matt Ryan had suffered. It's more about just the right move that needed to be made right now. Also, there's a little note out there is that the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, the football team in Central Indiana, Jim Irsay, watched film with Frank Reich after the game. That's odd. That's weird. That's not normal behavior for Jim Irsay. And after the film session, Irsay, Ballard, Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, and Frank Reich, the head coach of the Colts, they all had a meeting, and that's when the benching of Matt Ryan was decided upon. I want to get your thoughts first. What went through your mind when you heard not who was going to be replacing Matt Ryan, but when you heard that Matt Ryan was benched? What went through your mind?
I was a little shocked. To say I wasn't shocked would be a lie. When last week, I think it was, when Sam Ehlinger got called up to be the backup and they moved Nick Foles down to practice squad, and the reports came out that was all Jim Irsay, and Jim Irsay essentially said that, I had a feeling at some point we were going to see Sam Ehlinger get into a football game, and a meaningful football game in the regular season, not like week 16 or 17 when it doesn't matter. I thought we were going to see it because I felt like at some point that was going to have to happen, especially if Matt Ryan kept playing poor football. Did I think it was going to be the next week? No, not at all. I wouldn't have thought if it was going to be the next week, but yeah, I mean, I'm shocked to say the least, but things haven't gone the way we thought they would go. Matt hasn't played the way I think we thought he was going to play. And right now, Sam Ehlinger is the guy. I mean, I got a lot of thoughts about that, but you know, that's my initial thoughts on Matt Ryan being benched.
So I don't want to be and sit here and say like I don't want to be that guy, but I'll sit here and say I thought Matt Ryan should have been benched a while ago. The inability to hold on to the football, and I think he had 11 fumbles. This is before the Colts played the Titans over the weekend. Matt Ryan has been a guy who was throwing too many interceptions. Fumbled the ball 11 times prior to this past Sunday's game, had 7 interceptions going into that game, threw 2 more in the game. It all seemed like Matt Ryan just wasn't the guy. And I understand, was 15 years in the league, been around a long time, played in a Super Bowl. He's been somebody who was QB1 or the franchise quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. I get all of those things. But at some point in time, you got to realize, as Lakers fans are realizing right now, Russell Westbrook should not be playing as much as he is. He is hurting the Lakers basketball team. Matt Ryan was hurting the Colts football team when he was on the field. And Stu, that was the biggest thing to me. Does he help you right now? Well, him on the field, he is hurting you. Now, I'm not saying he hasn't had good games. He can't throw the yards. He can't throw game-winning touchdowns. I'm not saying he can't do any. I'm not saying those are things he can't do. He can throw the ball. But as we have seen, I don't know if I talked to you about this, he can't throw the deep ball, bro. Like, he has to wind up. Like, you know how it is when you're a little kid and you try to wind up and get an extra crow hop in there to launch that thing up in the air? That's kind of Matt Ryan when he's throwing the ball deep. His arm is not what it used to be, which is understandable. He's almost 40 years old. He's just not the guy. And I was surprised it took this long to bench Matt Ryan in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, when you lay it out like that, I mean, here's the thing. I knew he struggled all year, and I knew that it was, you know, it's one of those things. It's not hard to see. I mean, we've texted back and forth during football games and been like, bro, this is horrible. But I still felt with the experience factor, the fact that he's been a league MVP, the fact that he's been a Super Bowl, you know, been to a Super Bowl, and the fact that you're sitting there at 3-3 or heading into the week, you were sitting there at 3-2. I thought it was very, I think it would have been very risky, I think, to make that decision and be like, oh, Matt Ryan, we're going to bench him when things were looking good for him. I mean, you just came off a game where you put up, I think, 34 points, and the offense that everybody said wasn't very good was scoring a bunch of points. And we were like, man, where's this been all year? And Matt Ryan had 3 touchdowns, no picks, over 300 yards. And I mean, yeah. So like, I agree with you. He probably should have been benched maybe 2-3 weeks ago at this point. But when you look at it, where the Colts are sitting and where they were looking at, it was kind of hard. I think the more shocking thing to me is, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit later on, is how what this move says more so than, you know, necessarily what it says about Matt Ryan as far as where the Colts are headed and what their direction is in the future. Because if they still, in my opinion, wanted to compete, Nick Foles would be the guy stepping in for Matt Ryan, not Sam Ehlinger.
So here's my thought about the Nick Foles situation. I think Irsay realized that Reich was going to put another one of his guys on the field if Matt Ryan was going to be benched. And I think we saw when you put Nick Foles on the practice squad and you put Sam Ehlinger on the active roster, I think we're seeing Irsay taking more of a hold and realizing Reich isn't getting it done. His QB last year, Carson Wentz, was not the main problem or one of the bigger problems, but he was a problem in Indianapolis. And I don't think Irsay wanted to go through another former Philadelphia Eagle quarterback, another former Philadelphia Eagle coach now is trying to bring his guys in and run his system. I don't think Irsay wants to do that. So I think Irsay is taking more of a Jerry Jones approach and being more hands-on with the – he's not the GM of the Colts, but he is basically saying, hey, look, this is my money. This is my team. I'm calling the shots. You guys, plural, Ballard and Reich, are not getting it done. So Irsay is making some moves. I think that's a big reason why. I don't think Irsay wanted to go through another former Eagle quarterback in Indianapolis, knowing that you know what Nick Foles is as a quarterback. He's a backup. Now, granted, he did some good things with the Eagles, won a Super Bowl, but even then, he is still, to me, a backup quarterback in the NFL. He can only do so many good things over a few weeks. After a while, you're going to realize he's just not that guy. We don't know what Sam Ehlinger is going to be in the National Football League as a consistent starting quarterback. Nobody knows. I completely understand why you want to make this move now, because Ehlinger can't do – well, he can. It'll just be really bad. I don't think he'll do worse, especially with holding onto the ball, arm strength, reads, making the right reads, quickly moving in the pocket, keeping plays alive with your legs. He can do better in a lot of ways than what Matt Ryan has done in Indianapolis to this point in time. I'm glad they didn't go with Nick Foles, because I think that would have been – worse for the team. And then also Irsay would have had to hear from the fan base about why are we trying to have another Philadelphia Eagles quarterback call the shots here in Indianapolis. We had a guy last year do it. Why do you want to do it again?
Yeah, I think more I agree with that. And I think also what this move tells you from the outside looking in is the move tells you that the Indianapolis Colts have every inkling. And right now, if we're talking about like a gas meter on your car where it's like full or empty, they're all the way on full when it comes to, are we drafting a quarterback in April? That's where they're leaning at right now. But I think before they go and draft that guy in April, I think they want to be 100% sure that that guy's not already on the roster. This is a future move. This is telling you we right now are going to start looking in April for our next franchise guy to build around for the next decade. But before we do that, we got to make sure that guy's not already on the roster. I don't think he is. I think Sam's going to be a nice fill-in. I think he's going to do some cool things. He's going to add a little bit of spice to this offense. But I think if Colts fans expect a lot from him, I think they're going to be very disappointed, in my opinion. But this move to me is telling you what the Colts' plans are in April.
I agree. I think you're looking ahead to what the Colts might do in the spring in the NFL draft, not only going for a quarterback, but I also think Ursa is going to be more aggressive in the offseason to try to snag one of those higher first-round picks to get a quarterback higher, not say a second-round quarterback or a third-round quarterback.
How about your boy?
I'm down. I am down. Me I have my too. Own.
I've been on the CJ Stroud Indianapolis train since they started playing bad. I was like, let's bring him here.
I'm down with that. And I think Ursay realizes you need a quarterback like a CJ Stroud to come to Indianapolis to allow him to figure things out here as soon as he comes to the National Football League. I get it. And if this is the route they're going, if the route is, hey, we're showing you right now, we don't have the guy at QB1. We're going to bring a guy in, be a starting quarterback. I agree with you. I don't think Sam Ehlinger is going to be the savior that some Colts fans think he's going to be. I also think we can get some exciting and some really good play out of him throughout the rest of the season. But I don't think he's a future of quarterback in Indianapolis. And I have no problem saying that. I have no problem with that at all. Get your quarterback, Ursay, be more aggressive in the offseason. Get a pick higher. I'm saying Ursay because I think Ursay is going to do a lot more of the calling of the shots in the offseason than Chris Ballard. I want to share some more of my thoughts about him and Reich here in a second. But, yeah, you have to plan now for the future, and the Colts are showing you they're doing that right now.
Yeah, Jay, I want to talk about something you mentioned a little bit more, which is a lot of Colts fans think Sam's that guy, and they think he's going to be the guy for the future. And it mind boggles me, Jay, because every time you've been on my show and every time I've been on your show, you've talked about it, right? Like you've said, man – like you've talked about how much these Colts fans know about football and how much we've seen good football in our time. And so it mind boggles me that there's been last year, 2 years ago, there was such this clamoring for Jacob Eason, a fourth round pick, to be a starting quarterback. And how many fans were like, we need Jacob Eason to be that guy. And then it's so mind boggling to me how many people last year as a rookie and then this year have been like, we need Sam Ehlinger to be our starting quarterback because he can take us somewhere that Matt Ryan can't take us. And it's like, I disagree with that. And my thing has been, when did our standards as Colts fans become so low that we're like, hey, let's trust the sixth round pick to be the guy. Like, I get it. We're desperate for that next guy, right? Like, we want that next guy that's going to be our guy for 10 years. We're going to have a lot of success with. But we can't be that fan base and that team that's just willing to put our arms around anybody and say, let's go do it, buddy, when it's a sixth round guy who is drafted in the sixth round for a reason. There's a reason he was not a first round pick. It's because somebody told you, we don't think he's capable enough of being a starting quarterback. And somebody's going to hear this and say, well, what about Tom Brady? Tom Brady's the outlier. He's an outlier.
Right.
He's not the everyday thing. He's not the norm. He's an outlier. For me, Sam's not the future. Sam's not the guy. I think at max, he's a Colt McCoy, Taylor Heineke type guy who can win you a few games if you need him to. But I don't think he's a guy that we're going to look at and say, we're going to ride the train on him for the next 10 to 15 years, and he's going to win us a bunch of championships and all that kind of stuff.
So this is something that I have to think about all the time with Locked On Buckeyes and Ohio State football fans. I say the same thing about Ohio State fans as I do about Colts fans. They're knowledgeable. They know their stuff. They have seen enough really good football to know what really good football looks like and know a really good football player when they see one. These are really two knowledgeable fan bases. At the same time, Stu, in every fan base, you're going to have those people that are at the bottom. Not very knowledgeable. It might be 50, 60 years old. It could be a toddler, but they're not very knowledgeable. And they're going to put something out there. It's really idiotic. It's stupid. You and I would not agree with it, but it's going to get some traction because it's weird, a little abnormal, a little outside of the box thinking, but their outside of the box thinking makes them look really not smart, which we're trying to be nice about it. So you're going to have those in both fan bases. And what I think we have seen also, people are just thirsty to win here in Indianapolis. And so their thirst to win supersedes their, goes over their knowledge in their brain to properly analyze the players that are out there to see if said player is good enough to be a quarterback in Indianapolis. And so when you're so thirsty for things, sometimes you lose sight about making the wise decision. I think it's what's going on with the Colts fans right now. Colts fans are so thirsty to win consistently here right now as a football team that they're willing to take just about anybody. I don't like it. I don't get it. I get Sam Ehlinger might be a bridge quarterback, but I'm cool with that. He might be a career backup in Indianapolis. He might be the Jim Sorgi in Indianapolis. I have no problem with that. He can make a good living doing that. Hey, I get it. But also, I still think fans of the Indianapolis Colts have a little issue with being thirsty to win and not being able to slow down or quench their thirst with, well, you can't say quench the thirst. They're thirsty to win, but they can't really accomplish the winning that they want by also just getting the first guy that's there. So that may not have made sense, but they're thirsty. And while they're thirsty, they can't properly think and analyze who should be the next quarterback of their team. There you go. I was trying to get all that out. Kind of got jumbled up. I'm done talking, Stu.
No, you're good. I agree, man. I think it's something – they're just so desperate. Colts fans are so desperate for that guy ever since Andrew Luck left. Like, we're looking for that. Like I said, we're looking for that guy, and like you talked about. And I think not having – because we know what – like you said, Peyton Manning, we watched him for 14-plus years here in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck for 7. And then we even watched Phillip Rivers for a year. You could say what you want about Phillip Rivers, but he took us to the playoffs, and he showed some great things and had some great moments. And we look at it and say, man, we're missing that part of our team. And I get wanting to try to find it, but we can't try to find it in things that aren't there, if that makes sense. And it disappoints me because I agree with you, because I do think a lot of the people in this fan base are knowledgeable, but like you said, they're not willing to put their knowledge in the forefront. They're willing to just, I guess, accept this fact of like, oh, Sam Ehlinger is the guy. And then they're going to get disappointed and be the same ones in 2 weeks saying, get Sam Ehlinger out of town, when they were the ones 2 weeks ago saying he was the future of the team. So it's just one of those things where, for me, it's like, we got to kind of reason our expectations. And maybe it's just because I consider myself a reasonable fan.
Yeah,
and I'm not a delusional guy. And sometimes it comes also as negative, but that's kind of where I sit, man, is like, I want to see this play out. If he is the future, great. If he's not, then okay, April's just going to get a heck of a lot more fun, in my opinion.
So I'm going to share with you, Stu, a conversation I had with my brother earlier today. My brother called me, was talking, he asked what my thoughts were about Matt Ryan. I shared my thoughts with him about Matt Ryan. It's about time. It's really about time. But then also I told him something that I don't think the average person that's around the National Football League or a football fan or even most of the Colts fans would even think about. Matt Ryan's a problem in Indianapolis. He's not the only problem. There's a problem with the O-line. And Frank Reich was smart enough to realize – we failed you. We promised you an O-line, promised you an elite running game. We have not provided that to you, Matt Ryan. We have failed you. So I get that. Reich, I don't believe everything he says. I believe that he acknowledges that the Colts failed him right now. But the Colts have O-line issues. The Colts have running back issues. Running back health has been something. When I say running back issues, I have no problem with Jonathan Taylor. I have a problem with Reich not putting the ball in Taylor's hands enough consistently to get the ball there. The Colts don't have a true starting tight end. The Colts have Michael Pittman Jr., who I believe is the number one receiver. I think he's more of a number two. You have a rookie in Alec Pierce. Outside of those guys, you really don't have any good receivers. You have guys. You have some guys that can fill the roster on the defensive side of the ball. Defense is better, but your best linebacker, by the money, is not playing. That hurts you. Kenny Moore is not what he used to be. So there's things that are issues, but the offense of the Colts, people want to pinpoint the Colts issues and say, oh, it's Matt Ryan. I can tell you, there's an issue with every position, either with the players at said position or with how the coaches are using said players at the position. The Colts have issues at every position on offense. It's not just Matt Ryan. It's a lot of the things that are there. Chris Ballard is in this conversation as well because he, I do believe, has failed to put together a roster on offense and defense that can be successful in the National Football League. Yes, I am being harsh. That's my job. Chris Ballard is the GM of the Colts. I do believe he has failed to put a roster together that can allow the Colts to consistently win, get to the playoffs consistently, and have a shot to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm a little harder on Reich than I necessarily am Ballard. But, I mean, let's talk about the running game. You want to talk about it? Me and you were part of the Off the Ball Network, and I've been saying this in the group chat, I think for 3 weeks now, has been it boggles my mind how Frank Reich can put our third-string running back, Deion Jackson, in a better situation to be successful than he does the leading rusher from last year's season in Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor is facing 8-man boxes. And you know what Frank Reich's saying? Run the ball up the gut right in front, right into the heart of those 8-man boxes. Deion Jackson faces 8-man boxes. You know what he says? Let's run a screen pass over to the right side to Deion Jackson to get him in space so we have some lead blockers. And Deion Jackson takes a screen pass for 10 yards or 15 yards. And everybody's like, where'd this Deion Jackson guy come out of? And then, oh, there's an 8-man box. Well, let's get him on the outside there and let's block and get some lead blockers in front of him. Oh, he burst off a 7-yard run. How come we're not seeing the same production from Jonathan Taylor? Because he's not being set up in the same situations that our third-string running back Deion Jackson is. You have the league's leading rusher, and you have a guy in Deion Jackson who is outperforming him right now. It's a schematic issue, not a talent issue when it comes to this team. And it mind-boggles me that, like, it's amazing to me that we haven't figured it out yet. I mean, like you said before the show began, I didn't think this. I knew he had issues. I didn't think he was a great coach, but I also didn't think he was a bad coach. But Frank Reich's a bad football coach at this point in time. And I can tell you this: those years with Jacoby Brissett and those years with Philip Rivers and others, where we looked good and we had to, because they used to be a first half team, and that was all Nick Sirianni doing the pregame prep and scripting the plays. Because when we've seen now what happens when Frank Reich has total control, nothing's going right, nothing's working right. And let me tell you this, Jay, I watched that press conference with Frank Reich. I've never seen a head coach in my life look so beaten down, look so like he had just been ran through the ringer. It didn't look like he had gotten any sleep. He looked tired. He looked exhausted. He looked miserable in that press conference where he was talking about Frank, where he was talking about the move to go from Matt Ryan to Sam Ehlinger. So that to me was a point in time and something I look at and say, man, I don't know, but I think this is it for Frank.
I think he knows this is it for Frank.
Yeah, I think he knows. I think that meeting that happened immediately after the game where Zach Kiefer said he saw Jim Irsay walking out with his head down and a red face, I think that was Jim Irsay saying, at the end of the year, no matter what happens, you're done.
Why wait till the end of the year? Like, I'm not the biggest fan of cutting guys early, cutting guys short and ending their careers as a or firing them in the season. But Reich has showed you nothing.
Yeah.
He has not showed you that he deserves to be the head coach of the Colts right now, Stu. And so
I'm with you.
I just don't – I told you I think Reich makes it to Christmas and Reich gets cut. I would not be shocked if it happened sooner, but I think realistically it's going to happen around at Christmas. And I told you this, but pre-show, I'll say it on the show right now. The Colts play the Steelers on Monday Night Football. I don't have the date. Yes, I do. It's a Monday after Thanksgiving on November the 28th. That night, that Tuesday morning, Reich could be gone. You want to Ursay's already being embarrassed enough right now with the Colts. And you put him on national television as the owner of the Colts, and they lay an egg and get embarrassed. I believe that's also going to be a home game as well. Buddy, Ursay might say, nah, I know it's Thanksgiving season. I know it's a holiday season. Sorry, you're not going to be celebrating your holidays with the Colts right now. I told my brother this as well. You might agree with this. People might find humor in this. Frank Reich is probably going to be better suited as a NFL offensive coordinator / quarterback coach or an analyst for Nick Saban at Alabama. One of the two. I don't see him being a head coach in the NFL again. It might happen, but he's just not that guy. He has not shown anybody that he deserves to keep his job. And so if Ursay says, hey, buddy, you're getting chomped in the middle of the season, I get it. And I do believe that look you saw, I didn't see the look, but I have seen a certain look on Reich's face on the sideline. And I think he knows even in game, there's nothing he can do in his own philosophy to allow him to keep his job. And I'm starting to think he's too stubborn to change said philosophy to allow him to keep his job and allow him to win games.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, because Sam allows you to do some different things offensively with the zone read, the RPOs, those types of things, because he can move his legs. So we'll see what happens. But this is an offense. You're an offensive guru, apparently. And your offense is averaging 16 points per game, good enough for 29th in the NFL. Some kind of guru that is, right? Like, I just think at some point, you know, this we can talk about Chris Ballard and you know what he's failed to do, but this offense that, you know, everyone told me he failed to put weapons around Matt Ryan all offseason did put up 34 points just two Sundays ago. So, I mean, they have a capability of doing so, and they have the capability of putting up a lot of points. But I think the guy in charge calling plays, making the decisions during the game, I think is a little over his head. And I think at this point realizes he's now struck out. You don't get three strikes and you're out this time. It's two strikes. You missed on Carson Wentz. You're missing now on Matt Ryan. And I think this is something that, you know, kind of sucks, because you hate to see a guy like Matt Ryan, who surely, in my opinion, I think is a Hall of Famer. You hate to see maybe his career in this way. And maybe this be the last time he ever played football was the performance he put on the field on Sunday. You would hate for that to happen. But I can't help but to think that, you know, this move was made for April. And Frank Reich ain't going to be here to make that decision.
Stu, I got this graphic off Twitter. And the Say It Again Colts podcast, I believe that's the name of the podcast, that put this together. This graphic they put together, and it's every Colts starting quarterback since the Colts moved on from Peyton Manning. This is not since Andrew Luck's retirement. Since the Colts moved on from Peyton Manning at the end of the 2011 season, the Colts let go of a lot of players. My guy Dallas Clark was one of them. I believe Joseph Addai got shipped out of town. There was six to eight players that were staples for the Indianapolis Colts during their successful run of being a dominant team in the National Football League. They got let go. And I know we all know the recent ones. Can't put Sam Ehlinger on this list just yet because he hasn't started a game, but he is scheduled to start against the Washington Commanders this coming Sunday. But you got Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Phillip Rivers. We all know those names. Those are the most recent. But after that, you got Brian Hoyer, Jacoby Brissett, Scott Tolzien, Josh Freeman. I forgot he even started for the Colts.
Yeah.
Matt Hasselbeck. Of course, Andrew Luck. Old man Kerry Collins. Dan Orlovsky. And good old Purdue quarterback Curtis Painter. That's bad. And I think it was Greg Rakestraw. He's been on my podcast. He's been on your podcast. He was on the Dan Dawkins show, I believe yesterday. And he was talking about how the Colts quarterback jersey, if you want to have a jersey of all the quarterbacks that have been here, kind of the Browns do, since 02 to like 20,000 quarterbacks. Well, the Colts are getting pretty close. It's pretty embarrassing how they can't figure out the quarterback position and they can't figure out other positions. But the most important position on the field, which is the quarterback, can't get it right. And that makes a lot of sense. And it's clear why the Colts are consistently struggling. They can't figure out the quarterback position. Now, granted, Andrew Luck's retirement did hurt them, but I don't think that's the – you can't put all your chips and say this is the reason the Colts are struggling at quarterback right now. That was a few years ago. The issues are not on Andrew Luck. Those are on the current GM, his staff, the coach, and them not being able to bring in the proper guys. And then even if they have the wrong guy, develop the guys that are here to be good football players when they're playing every Sunday.
Yeah, and listen, Jay, I'm an Andrew Luck guy. You know this. I go to bat for Andrew Luck every day of the week. I was there when he retired. And let me tell you this, though. I'm tired of hearing that from the mainstream media as being a reason that the Colts can't figure out the quarterback situation. That was 2018. It is 2020. That has been four seasons since Andrew Luck's retired that you've had the opportunity to figure it out. And in four seasons, you listed since Peyton Manning, in four seasons they've had six quarterbacks. So the thing becomes, at what point, Jay, at what point do we stop saying, well, I mean, Andrew Luck really did throw him for a loop. And we start saying, okay, that was 4 years ago. And now we got to start focusing on the future here. Because, I mean, that would be like saying, well, Ohio State, you know, they haven't been the same since JT Barrett left. Yeah, that was 4 years ago. It's your job as a dominant program to recruit and bring in new quarterbacks and new dominant players. And if you can't do that, then that's on the coaching staff and everything else. That's just how I feel about this quarterback situation is 2019, 2020. If you want to say the Andrew Luck thing threw him for a loop, fine. But we're at the point now, we're far enough removed from that, that we can't use that as an excuse anymore. They've had opportunities. The Trevor Lawrence draft, they had an opportunity to trade up and get a good quarterback, whether it was Zach Wilson, whether it was Justin Fields, whether it was Trey Lance, they had an opportunity. Last year, they had an opportunity. We saw one quarterback go in the first round. Malik Willis didn't go till the third round. You had a guy in Sam Howell you could have taken. Matt Corral you could have taken. You could have taken Malik Willis, who now plays in Tennessee. You could have taken several other guys, but you chose not to do so. So we keep – and then even in 2020, there was Joe Burrow. There was Justin Herbert. There's Tua Tagovailoa. There's a lot of guys that we went with Jacob Eason. There's a lot of guys you could have drafted between 2018 – and 2020 that have not been given the opportunity to come and play for this team, to be that guy that you need to replace Andrew Luck since he left. And it keeps being brought up as an excuse. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it being brought up as an excuse because our GM keeps trading away our first round picks, or he's too conservative to not trade back up into the round because he's afraid to miss. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a big Chris Ballard guy, and I think he's a better GM than Ryan Grigson was. But you know what Grigson did? And we talked about this on my podcast the last time you were on. The thing that Grigson did that Chris Ballard does not do is he took chances. He took a shot on a guy in Philip Dorsett. He took a chance on a guy in Trent Richardson. He took swings. He may have missed, but he took swings, and Chris Ballard has yet to take a swing that shows us he knows, he believes in himself enough to make that decision, because we've had 4 years with really good quarterback classes to replace Andrew Luck, and we have not done it. And something tells me I think we will, and hopefully we will this year, but something tells me we're going to get to round two and still not have a quarterback of the future in April. If that's the case, he may get fired after night one of the draft. But I'm just the whole point was I'm tired of the Andrew Luck retiring being an excuse at this point in time, as far removed from that as we are.
It shouldn't be an excuse. People shouldn't use that anymore. People should move on past it and realize, like you said so well, that was a long time ago. Things have changed. There are different players that are out there that you can get either in free agency or in the draft. You failed to do that. And if your excuse is Andrew Luck, then you are really doing a bad job and failing maybe even yourself to properly know how to analyze what's going on and stop holding on to the past. We all get nostalgic. We all hold on to the things that were great. I get all that. But you can't do that currently in 2022 when that was 2018. You cannot do those things. Don't use Andrew Luck as an excuse. He retired. He has no bearing on what goes on with this team right now. And we just let that go and realize, hey, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse you can use or you should use. Get over it. But Stu, one thing I can't get over is that this team still has games to play. I every week watch the Colts play football. And I sometimes wonder why I put myself through this torture every week.
I say the same thing. Just to let you know, I do say the same thing. I ask myself and I ask my wife every week, why do I do this to myself? But you know what? That's what happens when you're a fan. It's some kind of sickness you get. But I'll let you finish with what you were saying. I'm sorry about that. But I just wanted to say we were thinking the same thing.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You can cut me off whenever you want to. You're a frequent guest, and I know you have good stuff to say. It's not a big problem. But, yeah, no, I wonder why I put myself through this torture every week. The Matt Ryan experience didn't last long, not mad about it. The Reich experience lasted longer than I expected. Kind of mad that I'm putting myself through this every single week. But Sam Ellinger is going to do one thing, bring excitement to the team, bring excitement to a bad football team. I don't care what the record's going to say at the end of the year. If the Colts are 8-8-1, they're bad. You might say, Jay, they're average. No, they're bad. Sorry, my standards are a little bit higher, just like they are for Ohio State. My standards for the Colts are a little bit higher, and I don't care who's on the team. I expect the people that have been hired by Jimmy Irsay to come in, do the job, put a good team together, develop the team in the offseason, in training camp, and then get a good team to play a good team, play good football throughout the 18-week regular season, get into the playoffs, and then eventually work to play in the Super Bowl. Those are my expectations. I understand you might say, Jay, they're unrealistic. No, they're realistic. I know good football, and I expect the Colts to be good at some point in time. They're not good this year. Sam Ellinger is going to bring some excitement. That might be what I need, and I'm going to be selfish, Stu. That might be what I need to consistently watch the Colts play football every Sunday. Because I have been close to doing to the Colts what I have done to the Pacers. I have not watched a Pacers basketball game consistently in some years. Now, granted, even past the Bally Sports Plus, we had to pay a subscription fee every month to watch the games. I have not watched the Pacers play consistently. They've been bad for a while, and I ain't mad about it. The Colts were really close to being on that path right now because they're not that good. But I am going to be intrigued, Stu, to see what Sam Ellinger does as QB1 of the Indianapolis Colts. Is he going to win? I don't know. But it'll be exciting football. And, Stu, I want exciting football in Indianapolis. And I think, I can't speak for you, but I think you want exciting football for the Colts as well.
Yeah, I was trying to find it on Twitter, but I couldn't find it. I think it was Zach Kiefer. If it's not, then I'm misquoting the wrong person. But somebody on Twitter I saw tweeted, well, at least the Colts will lose and excitingly lose now with a guy like Sam Ellinger. I don't think Sam's the guy. I said this when he got drafted. I thought they were going to use him in more of a Taysom Hill type role. They didn't wind up doing it. I don't know why, but they haven't. I don't think he's the guy that you can rely on to be the future. There's a reason he was drafted in the sixth round. But I think what he brings to the table with his legs, and we saw it a little bit. We saw that big run in the preseason versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're going to see some zone read type stuff. You're going to see some RPOs, a lot like we saw with Carson Wentz last year, just a little bit more efficient, I think, than Carson Wentz is. Which I argue he was kind of efficient, but that's a different debate for a different time. But I look at it and say, Sam Ehlinger, to me, in my opinion, I can't help but to think that it's going to be more exciting, and hopefully with his legs and him being a threat to run the football, this opens up windows and holes and opportunities for Jonathan Taylor, because now you got another guy that you got to consider a threat out there. But I also don't know if I can trust Frank Reich to use him properly in the way that we need, that he needs to be used in order for this team to, you know, be exciting, shall I say. And I mean, I really don't know if we can trust them to use him the way he deserves to be used. And here's something else I want to touch on real quick, because we talked about this with wide receivers in our previous show. When you came onto my podcast, you talked about how they have failed to develop wide receivers. Anybody who thinks that the Colts can develop Sam Ehlinger, I don't know what you've seen throughout the – I'm a big history guy, right? History never lies. If you don't learn from it, you will repeat history continuously, right? I'm a big believer in that. Colts are repeating history. They have. They have failed so far to develop the wide receiver position. Paris Campbell, Zach Pascal, whoever you want, you can say it. They have failed to develop them into whatever way they want. I have no faith that they have developed Sam Ehlinger into being somebody who can lead this team to success, because they haven't developed anybody else on their squad. So why the heck do I think they can develop the most important position on the football field, the quarterback position, as successfully as people think they can? But for me, at this point, I just want to see some different things. I want to see what we would do with a guy like a Bryce Young, a C.J. Stroud, a Will Levis. I want to see what that offense would kind of look like, you know, with the zone reads, the RPO style plays, all those kinds of things, because ultimately that's what we're planning for. But I think it's going to be fun to watch, and I agree with you, it will be a little bit more exciting. Still going to lose, but it's going to be more exciting when we lose.
One thing will be the same with Matt Ryan as QB1 and Sam Ehlinger as QB1. There's a bad offensive line in front of both guys when they're the quarterback. And so, Stu, I want to make the statement and turn it back over to you and almost close up shop here soon, but it doesn't matter who QB1 is. If you don't block for them, that quarterback is going to have some time and have a trouble getting the ball to his receivers. Matt Ryan did it consistently, and that was one thing that I can't put all the blame on Matt Ryan, because he was back there running for his life. The O-line is bad. I don't know if the Colts have had the same O-line start any game this year for back-to-back games. And that's bad. That's really, really bad. And as a quarterback in Matt Ryan, who's played, 15 years now, you realize that he knows he needs a good, consistent O-line in front of him, and he needs his O-line to build chemistry throughout the season to play better football together. Well, the Colts have failed at the O-line position. They failed the O-line, and when Matt Ryan was on the field, they're probably going to fail the quarterback in Sam Ehlinger, and he's going to be behind a bad offensive line. So for this to be a time when you put a new quarterback in with a bad O-line out there, people talk about the Bears' offensive line being bad. Watch Colts football. It's not just Justin Fields running for his life. It's partly because, mainly, a lot of it's because the O-line in front of him is bad. Same for Sam Ehlinger on Sunday against the Commanders. The O-line is going to be bad. And I am going to be shocked if he is not running for his life within the first few series. Stu, one more thing really quickly. This just popped into my mind. You said something earlier about scripted plays and Nick Sirianni, the scripted plays that he had. Well, Frank Reich fails to script plays that are good. I don't get it, bro. I don't get it at all. I have seen Ohio State play numerous games. A lot of times their opponents, they look okay. Or better than okay during the scripted plays at the beginning of the game. Next thing you know, when you have to make adjustments and call your own plays, the other teams that Ohio State's playing really is really, really bad. Well, Frank Reich can't even score when he's scripting the plays. So maybe we're seeing that Ursay's realizing Reich had to make a move. O-line's bad. That's not on Reich. That's really on Ballard putting the guys in there. But I don't know why I should trust. As exciting as I think the football's going to be, I don't know why I should trust Sam Ehlinger to be exciting as much as I do. There's a bad O-line, and the guy calling the play is calling the shots, has consistently failed the quarterback to put the quarterback of the team in the right position to be successful. I know I said a lot and went around to get to that point, but I don't know, man. I feel excited about Sam Ehlinger, but he has a bad O-line, and the coach is not calling good plays. He doesn't make adjustments, so maybe I shouldn't be excited. Maybe I should just use my own brain, analyze the football, and realize maybe I shouldn't be as excited about Sam Ehlinger as I am.
I mean, maybe you're right, and I think that's something I've come to the conclusion of is, like, I've just given up all hope of, like, seeing anything kind of creativity-wise from this team this year, because it's just, like, at this point, we're going to play like we're playing in the 1980s and hope we win. You know, hope we win. As far as the offensive line goes, there's been three major positions, I think, Chris Ballard's failed to address properly. He kind of did it with Alec Pierce last year, but the wide receiver position's been one. The quarterback position's been two. And then once Anthony Costanzo left, it's been the right tackle position. He has failed to operate. And you can say, well, the whole offensive line has played bad. And you're right. The whole offensive line has played bad, including Quentin Nelson, who I don't know what happened, but Quentin Nelson looked like a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
His entire career. And then all of a sudden, he's been bad this year. He's been blown up. He's been bull rushed over, and I'm not sure what's happening. Maybe, and I don't want to be controversy, you know, conspiracy theory type guy, but maybe Frank Reich has lost this locker room, and maybe this team's just given up on him, and at this point been like, just screw it. We'll figure it out later, and we'll bring in new pieces next offseason, and we could get back to doing things. Or maybe he hired the wrong offensive line coach, and they need to get back to some business. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't expect any creativity from this offense until shown or proven otherwise. Until I am proven wrong, until I am shown wrong, I will not believe that the Colts will use Sam Ehlinger properly and in the way that he should be used. A lot like how Philadelphia is using Jalen Hurts. Is a lot like how you should use Sam Ehlinger, because in my opinion, he's a great value version of Jalen Hurts. But I think that's if I'm Frank Reich, I'm calling up my old buddy Nick Sirianni and asking if we can get some details on what he does. Obviously, they won't give him too much because they play later on this year. But the point becoming, I just think at some point you've got to look at what they're doing in Philadelphia and kind of replicate that. But I'm with you, Jay. I haven't been shown by this coaching staff that they can adjust or they can do different types of things, or that there's even a speck of creativity in the play calling abilities of Frank Reich.
Stu, it's fun having you on. This has been therapeutic, and I wish you could come back on every week. I know that we can't make that happen, but down the road, you might get another emergency pod from Stuart. I can't say exactly what we have discussed about when he could come back on the show, but we'll save that for a later date. We have teased it a couple times already about some things we think might happen down the road. And when that happens, Stu will be back on the show. Stuart Brooking, if you could tell everyone where they can follow you on Twitter, where they can listen to your podcast, and also TikTok. I know a lot of guys are on TikTok now as well. I think you're one of them. So tell them about the stuff you're doing on the TikTok too.
Yeah. So obviously you can follow me on Twitter. For those of you watching on YouTube, it's at StuPark5 on Twitter. You can also follow the podcast Twitter at StuMorning on Twitter. It's the same on Instagram as well. On TikTok, yeah, it's just at Stuart Brooking. And what I do on there is I post clips from the show. I post clips from, you know, I have a clip from Mo Murphy, who's been on the show, I'm sure. I have some from you. I have one from you on there. I have one from Jay. I just clip the show to kind of tease what's going on and get people to come, you know, get a snippet. It's like the appetizer before the meal, right? It's like those when you go to Texas Roadhouse and you're getting the cactus blossom. That's what it is. It's the cactus blossom before the steak comes out. So it gets you a little bit excited for it. It gets those taste buds moving, that sports taste bud, shall I say. But yeah, I have a pod coming out on Thursday with Chris Powell, also known as Couch Coach here at, you know, Off the Ball Network, previewing this Washington, you know, Indianapolis game. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, that pod will be out Thursday morning, but you can find the podcast anywhere you find podcasts.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jsteven07. That's also my handle on Instagram is jsteven07, as well as on the TikTok. Try to make it easy for you wherever I am. Follow me there. I'm also on TikTok as well. Clips from this show, clips from Locked On Buckeyes will be on there. Also, some try to do some things to make it personalized, not just sports, some things about my life as well. So that's going to be a little work in progress. I'm new to the TikTok, as you'll see when you go follow me. But once you're there, you'll see some good stuff, some good clips, some interesting things, some great thoughts. And so we'll all be on the same page with that, guys. Make sure to subscribe to the Jay Stevens Podcast. Leave a 5-star review and a rating. It's greatly appreciated. It's a free way to allow and help the show grow and allow you to let other people know about the Jay Stevens Podcast and the goodness that you enjoy every single week. This has been episode 262 of the Jay Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.